It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good morning. John Munson sitting in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we're going to talk about climate change and what individual states can or can't do to help solve the problem. And we have two guests this hour. The genesis for this program is the proposal in the State Senate, Senate Bill 81, and its companion in the Assembly, which is being proposed by Spencer Black, Democratic State Representative from Madison, among others. And we have two guests this morning, one to speak in favor of this this change in Wisconsin law and the way we look at climate change in the state, and we also have someone to speak on the other side. So first, we'll hear from Spencer Black. As I mentioned, he's a Democratic State Representative from Madison. And he joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Representative Black. Hello, Representative Black, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay,
good morning.
Great. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, tell me about SB 81. What would it do?
Well, the Safe Climate Act would control greenhouse gases, which are causing global warming. It will be part of an effort that many states are undertaking in the absence of action by the federal government to start dealing with the problem of global warming. The bill would require Wisconsin to control our carbon dioxide emissions, the major gas that's causing global warming, and get them to the levels they were in 1990 and do that by the year 2020. This is consistent with what many other states across the country are doing to start dealing with this, because many states, and I feel this way, are saying, look, we wish the federal government was acting. But since we have a failure of leadership on this issue at the federal level, the potential threat to our state, our nation, our entire planet from global warming is too great for us to sit on our hands. So has happened many times in environmental issues. When the federal government has failed to act, states are taking the lead, and this bill would have Wisconsin join a number of other states in enacting measures to control greenhouse gases.
Other than California, what states have actually enacted laws about this?
Washington, Maine, Maryland, Hawaii, and the list goes on. New Jersey, Illinois.
So Illinois already has a law in the books?
Yes, Illinois is enacting one, that's right, and Minnesota will soon be as well.
Okay, what about Iowa and Michigan?
Iowa actually is looking at one, although I think politically they're probably a little further away.
Okay. One of the criticisms of this type of legislation has been, okay, let's say we reduce the CO2 emissions in Wisconsin to zero. We just find some way to do that. Even if we did, what effect would that actually have on a problem that's global in scale?
Well, we shouldn't minimize Wisconsin's contribution to the problem. If Wisconsin was a country, it would be the 38th biggest emitter in the world for carbon dioxide emissions. Wisconsin alone has more carbon dioxide emissions than the nations of Austria or Sweden or Israel, for example. But this is not an effort by Wisconsin alone. It's an effort by states, including California, which is about 25% of the national economy, to start tackling the problem. And the reason why this is a powerful effort is it's not Wisconsin alone. In fact, I only decided to introduce this bill, along with my co-sponsor, Senator Mark Miller, because California, which is such a large part of the national economy, took the lead. And once California took the lead, then other states said, well, now this is a serious effort. It's not just our state doing it, but it's states acting together. That's why we've been meeting with other Midwestern legislators for them to adopt similar legislation as well. These efforts have also been going on in the western states and the northern, northeastern and eastern states, so that we would have a state-by-state effort. So it's not Wisconsin alone. I know the critics have tried to minimize the importance of this, saying that Wisconsin shouldn't do it by itself, but Wisconsin is not doing it by itself. Now, ironically, at the hearing we had last week, there's overwhelming support for this bill, but we had a couple of groups, the manufacturers group and the utilities group, saying, well, Wisconsin shouldn't do this, we should do this at the federal level. But I think that's rather disingenuous on the part of those lobbying groups, because their national counterparts are at Washington lobbying against any action at the national level. So the states are taking the lead because of the absence of federal legislation, and Wisconsin is part of a national effort. Now, nationally, the United States, even though we're just 5% of the world population, contribute over 25% of the greenhouse gases on the planet.
We're talking with Representative Spencer Black from Madison. He's one of the co-sponsors of a bill currently known as SB 81, the Safe Climate Act. And we invite your participation as well. Here are the phone numbers to use if you'd like to get in on this discussion. 800-642-1234 is a toll-free number. Good anywhere you can hear the broadcast. 800-642-1234. In Madison, please use our local number, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or you can send us an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. What do you think? Should states regulate greenhouse gases and try to do something about climate change? Or is this a problem that can only be addressed at the federal level, as some others say? You can join us and express your opinion and also ask questions of our guest this hour. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. Well, later on today on the Ideas Network, students and parents are often preoccupied with college rankings during the admissions process. After 5 o'clock this afternoon, Ben Marins and his guests discuss the New York Times Magazine poll of current college students. That's after 5 o'clock today here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about the Safe Climate Act, a piece of legislation introduced by Representative Spencer Black, among others, and it had its first hearing last week in the State Senate in front of the Natural Resources Committee, and we're talking about that bill. We have two guests in this first half of the program. Spencer Black is our guest by phone, and after 6:30, after the news, we'll hear from Republican State Representative Jim Ott, who gives us a different viewpoint on this legislation. Representative Black, one of the criticisms of this bill, and this is shouldn't be news to you, I'm sure, is that this would do serious damage to the economy of the state and would cause electricity rates to rise. I think the quote I saw was by more than 40%. Gasoline prices would go up 50%, and the standard of living for the average Wisconsin resident would be reduced significantly. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think there's a very concerted effort by the oil industry to, especially funded by Exxon, to try to throw anything they can at the idea of taking action on global warming to stop it. And that includes some of the scare tactics you just mentioned. The reality is that acting on global warming will be good for Wisconsin's economy. And at the hearing, we had overwhelming support from a wide variety of groups, including business, labor, especially the farm community, as well as the outdoor recreation and tourism interests. And the reason is that, first of all, global warming, if left unchecked, will do significant damage to Wisconsin's economy. Our agriculture, our forestry, the Great Lakes, much of the environmental resources upon which we depend on our general attractiveness, especially our tourism. But taking intelligent action on global warming, first of all, is important because we will eventually have some national regulations. This problem is only going to get worse. The pressure internationally is going to get stronger. You can look at the next presidential elections. Things will change in Washington. But those states that take initial action will be ahead of the curve, and it will be beneficial for a couple reasons. Because if we do have to react more quickly, then that will be more economically damaging. But there's also tremendous economic opportunities here. Remember, Wisconsin's economy exports about $10 billion a year, purchasing fuels, polluting fuels from other states and nations. If we could, that's money that leaves the state's economy right off the bat, doesn't circulate in the economy, just goes right down the drain. And that is a tremendous, probably the biggest single economic drain on our Wisconsin economy, and by large measure. If we could reduce that by using, being more, better conservation, better energy efficiency, renewable energy, more use of biofuels, then we are going to have a tremendous boost to our state's economy. In addition, those states that take the lead in this are going to help generate those economic sectors that are going to be very powerful in the future, meeting the problem of global warming. We're going to be jump-starting a very important part of the economy. We're already beginning to see that with some of the money that's flowing into the state for in the biological sciences, much of which is looking at, for example, just a recently $125 million grant to the University of Wisconsin, which will generate a lot of offshoots of businesses, looking at engineering to better improve the efficiency of the making of biological fuels. The farm community has been very supportive. That's why they were so active in coming to the hearing, because they see tremendous economic opportunities in their sector, not just in biofuels, but also in providing much of the carbon sequestration that will be part of the answer, and getting paid for it, that will be part of the answer of solving this problem. There is no one solution to global warming, but there's many different parts to the solution, and many of those will be potential economic benefits to Wisconsin. This kind of legislation, and this is much of the thinking, for example, in California when they pass legislation, is those states that do take action are going to put themselves ahead of the next economic trend line, because there's already strong international demand for products that deal with global warming, and you're going to see that in the United States as a whole soon as well.
Let's go to the phones and take a call from Rich in Hustisford. Rich, good morning. Thanks for calling us.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask a question, because I've been doing a lot of reading and studying on this particular thing, and I'm finding that there are many, many, many scientists from around the world, especially geologists who study volcanic activity, that are saying that the whole global warming thing is quite a large myth, that every time a volcano erupts, it puts out 100 times more greenhouse gases than human beings have put out in the entire existence of human beings. And also, they're saying that we're just in a normal trend of the Earth, that sometimes we're in an ice age, sometimes we're in a warming, sometimes we're in an ice age, and we're in a normal pattern that the people who are promoting global warming and keep pushing this are doing it for economic reasons and not for the reality of the way our world works. And nobody stops and says, hey, wait a minute now, maybe we ought to start listening to these guys who study this stuff all the time and come to find out that, yeah, every time a volcano goes off, there's so many more, hundreds of times more greenhouse gases that goes off, and we're just in a normal trend, and these people are trying to scare the world that, oh my God, you drive your car and it's going to, you know, destroy the Earth, and one volcano will do enough damage that, you know, people haven't done in, you know, their entire existence.
Okay, Rich, let's let Representative Black have a chance to respond.
Well, I don't know how to put this politely, John, but with all due respect to Rich, what he said is just flat out wrong, just totally incorrect. Scientists have studied this. In fact, there's an international study that's been set up that's been looking at 18 years that includes 1,500 of the world's top scientists, including geologists, climatologists, wildlife experts, set up by the United Nations, the International Panel on Climate Change, that has been the lead group in the world in studying this. Their most recent report, and they issue reports every 6 years based on scientific data, was unanimous in showing that, first, that we are having global climate change and it is human-induced. They looked at over 60,000 scientific studies in making their conclusion. They tend to be very conservative in the sense that they don't go out on a limb. But as the evidence has been coming in, their conclusions have been stronger and stronger about the fact that, first, that we do have more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Secondly, it is human-induced. And third, it is going to have major impacts on our environment. Every scientific group that's looked at this, the National Academy of Sciences, the American Meteorological Society, have reached the same conclusion. In fact, there's been over 1,000 peer-reviewed articles. That's how the scientific process works, where scientists publish their articles in peer-reviewed journals. And every single article, without exception, has pointed to these conclusions. Now, there have been some alternative suggestions about what is happening, that it's part of a cycle. Some people say a 1,500-year cycle. Some people say a 100-year cycle. Others say it's caused by volcanoes. The scientific studies have looked and evaluated every alternative explanation. For example, the volcanoes. They've done isotope tracing of the atmosphere in terms of carbon deposition from volcanoes and found that its impact is minimal. They've checked the theory of cycles. For example, one theory that's been advanced is the 1,500-year cycle, which perhaps your caller was alluding to, and also found that is not the explanation. So the scientists have looked, and these are the world's top scientists. Every scientific community, every scientific article is pointing to the same conclusion. There is a very well-funded effort by the oil companies, led by ExxonMobil, to try to put information out there, to try to confuse the public. But every reputable scientist, every reputable scientific organization, every article that's been published in peer-reviewed journals points to the same conclusion. So I'm afraid I have to be blunt with your caller, but he is just flat-out wrong.
We're running out of time in this half hour, and there's a couple of other things I want to get to here. First, Dean from Johnson Creek sent us a message. He wants to know, will the bill have anything to do with a carbon tax, and if not, why not?
Well, the bill is flexible. But the way the bill would work is it would set limits on all the major emitters of carbon dioxide and require them to meet those standards, but give them flexibility. In other words, one emitter might decide that they cannot meet the standards most economically by cutting the emissions at their own plant, but they can purchase credits from farmers who are engaging in activities like reforestation or in methane capture in order to help meet that goal. So the bill is specifically designed to be flexible and allow those regulated entities, those that are the major emitters of carbon dioxide, to meet the requirements of reducing greenhouse gases in the most economically efficient and flexible manner.
We've got about a little over 30 seconds here before we have to wrap things up and get to the news. What happens next with this legislation? It's had a hearing. Where does it go now?
Well, the bill's had a hearing with overwhelming support, and now it will be up to the committee to vote for the bill, which we hope will happen soon, and then it will go to the full Senate, where we're hoping for approval, hopefully yet this year.
All right, Spencer Black, thank you so much for spending this time with us this morning.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Spencer Black, Democratic State Representative from Madison, is one of the authors of the legislation called the Safe Climate Act, SB 81. And in the next half hour after the news, we'll hear Representative Jim Ott give a different side to this issue. I'm John Munson, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:35. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. This hour, we're dealing with the Safe Climate Act, SB 81, which had its first hearing last week in the state Senate. And in the first half of the program, we had Spencer Black, who is one of the co-sponsors of the bill, and a Democratic state representative from Madison, talking about why he thought the bill was important legislation for the state of Wisconsin. And in this half hour, we're going to hear the other side of that argument, or debate. I suppose argument is perhaps too strong a word to use here. And we have with us by telephone Jim Ott, Republican State Representative from Mequon. You can join us by phone, too, and let me give the phone numbers before I forget. 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. Good anywhere that you can hear this broadcast. 800-642-1234. In Madison, we would appreciate it if you'd use our local number, 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we welcome Representative Jim Ott from Mequon. Good morning, Representative. Thank you for spending this time with us this morning.
Good morning, John. Very good to be with you today.
Well, one of the things that you've said is Wisconsin has been a leader in fighting air and water pollution, and we need to protect the environment, but you don't like this particular bill. Tell me why.
Well, and I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right. It's not an argument. It is a debate, and I think it's important that we do give both sides of the issue. I mentioned this at the hearing the other day, I certainly do not doubt the sincerity of Representative Black or Senator Miller in introducing this legislation. Obviously, they care very much about the environment. So do I. The problems I have with Senate Bill 81, and there's an Assembly Companion Bill 157, is that, number one, if you could drop Wisconsin's CO2 emissions down to zero tomorrow, if you could just flick a switch and say no more CO2 emissions, and of course we measure background levels of CO2, you wouldn't notice any difference in background global levels of CO2. That's if we went down to zero. This bill, if it were implemented successfully, maybe would reduce our emissions by about 16%. At least those are the estimates. So that's number one. It would have no impact on global levels of CO2. Therefore, it would have absolutely zero impact on the issue of global warming, because CO2 is one of the big issues in global warming. You don't affect that, you're not going to affect global temperatures. Number two, I do believe it would have a very negative impact on our economy right here in Wisconsin, because the bill mandates that we would get our CO2 back to 1990 levels by the year 2020 by the use of something called market-based compliance mechanisms. I think the most common of these would be putting a carbon tax on companies, so they would have to pay more in order to produce their product. They might have to purchase expensive pollution equipment, some of which we don't really have the technology available right now. You know, we talk about carbon sequestration, maybe storing the carbon dioxide someplace. We don't have any place to store it right now. Companies could lower their production, or they could buy and sell carbon credits. To me, that wouldn't even reduce that CO2 at all, nor would paying a carbon tax. All of these would result in, I think, lower production, which could lead to layoffs, higher prices, which would be, you know, really passed on to the consumer, or companies might leave the state. So that's my objection to this bill.
Representative Black says that if you take Wisconsin and if you made it a country, we'd be the 38th largest in the world in terms of how much CO2 we put into the atmosphere. I guess from his point of view, any reduction is better than nothing.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's do something that will really reduce the levels. I have a number of ideas how we can reduce CO2 without impacting the economy whatsoever. For example, if we would double the amount of electricity that we produce in Wisconsin using nuclear energy, right now we produce 20% of our electricity with nuclear, if we double that to 40%, and I'm not saying go to 100% or even 80% like France, go to 40%. That would reduce your CO2 emissions by 12 million tons a year. It would have no negative effect on our economy whatsoever. I think we should encourage the development of hybrid automobiles or electric automobiles. That would also decrease our dependence on foreign oil. And again, encourage, not mandate, but if you had more electric cars on the road, and if they were recharging the batteries with energy that's not produced by fossil fuels, you would have a real reduction in CO2. It's hard to estimate how much, but it would be real. And again, it would have no impact, negative impact on the economy. We could also give tax incentives to companies to reduce their CO2 emissions, and we could do a lot more as individuals to conserve energy. So I think there are things we can do. I just don't think we should be mandating companies to do something that would have a negative impact on our economy.
What about other sections of the economy that might benefit from some of the provisions in the Act? For example, in the agriculture community and forestry, there would be economic gains for those sectors of the economy if something like this bill became law, wouldn't there?
Well, I saw estimates that actually there would be a negative impact on farmers because, of course, they would be paying more for energy prices. I also, this whole idea of this green industry that would develop and that would somehow replace some of the monies that were being lost from the economy. You know, the Financial Times just recently had an article about some of the problems with the carbon credit and carbon trading that's been going on in Europe. They found that companies were paying for emission reductions that didn't really take place. They were getting paid for improvements that were done anyways. There were some problems with brokers taking part in negotiations and really adding very little value. And some companies were overcharging customers to voluntarily pay for CO2 reductions, and the customers were paying more than what it actually cost. The other problem with this buying and selling of carbon credits, you know, John, I don't really see how that has a big impact on CO2 reductions. I have a company, let's say, in Wisconsin, and I'm manufacturing something, and I'm producing more CO2 than I'm allowed under this cap. So I go over to Minnesota, I find a company that's putting out less CO2 than the mandated cap that we have in Wisconsin. I buy a carbon credit from them. CO2 hasn't been reduced, but money has exchanged hands. I guess I don't see where this is helping the economy.
Let me give the phone numbers again and give our listeners a chance to join in on the topic. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. If anywhere you can hear this broadcast, it's a toll-free number. If you're in Madison, please call us at 263-1890. What do you think, listeners? Should this bill become law? Would it do any good in the fight against global warming? We welcome your participation. My guest by phone is Representative Jim Ott, Republican state representative from Mequon. And Representative Ott is also a former meteorologist. Let's go to the phones and take a call from Mike in Madison. Mike, good morning. Thanks for getting up this early and joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you. This bill should become law. And the reason why I say that is the impacts from Wisconsin adopting this bill will not be minuscule. If Wisconsin does this, other states, like we followed California, will follow us. And it will have a snowballing effect, which will mean a lot more reductions in greenhouse gases to the atmosphere than just Wisconsin's.
All right, Mike, thanks. Let's give Representative Ott a chance to respond.
Well, thanks for your question, Mike. I know I've often heard it said, well, Wisconsin should be a leader. You know, a leader in what? I think we are a leader in many issues with the environment. For example, we already have a mandate in our state that by the year 2015, 10% of our electrical energy be produced from renewable resources. You know, I think that's excellent. You know, that will cut down on the use of fossil fuels and, you know, hopefully ultimately would lead to a decrease in our dependence on foreign oil. But Wisconsin be a leader in what? In doing something that is not going to make any difference, and also something that's going to hurt our economy. Now, if you think that other states are going to follow us, they may not. I think if you're going to have legislation on this issue, and I think this is open to discussion, I think we should have some sort of national legislation so that all the states are covered. Then maybe you're doing something that is going to have an impact. That's number one. And number two, along with that national legislation, we should have international cooperation. I mean meaningful international cooperation. For us to hurt our economy when other countries may not be hurting their economies, they may actually benefit from what we do to our economy. So this idea of Wisconsin being a leader, I say fine, be a leader where you're going to make a difference. Here we're doing something that's not going to affect the levels of CO2.
We're going to take a break and check on the climate around the state of Wisconsin, see what the weather is going to be today, and give you some other information as well. And when we come back, we'll take some more phone calls for Representative Ott on this topic. A piece of legislation has been proposed. It's called the Safe Climate Act. Right now it's SB 81, and it has a companion in the state assembly and had its first Senate hearing last week. What do you think? Should the state of Wisconsin do something on its own if the federal government doesn't act, or should we wait for the federal government to take a position on this and do something nationally to reduce greenhouse gases? Your comments and questions are welcome at 800-642-1234 and 263-1890. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 6:48 on this Monday morning, the 1st of October, 2007. Well, here's what's coming up a little bit later on this morning on the Ideas Network. After 9, Kathleen Dunn and her guest get political, recapping all the news from Washington. That's after 9 this morning here on the Ideas Network. Just a reminder, in the next hour here on this program, we'll have State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson in with us to talk about what's happening or not happening with the Wisconsin state budget. This hour, however, we're talking about climate change and what one state might be able to do about it or might not, depending on your point of view. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Toll free anywhere you can hear the broadcast. 263-1890, please, if you're in Madison. My guest in this part of the program is Jim Ott, Republican state representative from Mequon. And Representative Ott is also a former meteorologist. Let's go back to the telephones, and this time we'll take a call from Ann in Madison. Ann, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. What's your comment or question?
Hi. Well, first of all, taxes are almost the only way of getting corporations to comply with any kind of restriction on pollution, because money is the only thing they respond to, and many of them actually aren't paying anything in taxes now. But second, carbon dioxide is not one of the very few chemicals EPA requires industry to report, although it's responsible for ozone alerts and global warming and all kinds of other problems. It's not toxic in the way, say, tetrachloroethane is, but it is absolutely the biggest polluter by all industry. And so I think this bill is urgently needed. And there's also an undemocratic trend by WMC and its brother lobbyist groups all over the United States to reverse the federal-state relationship that was intended by the Constitution and the Constitution to the state. Since the Reagan era, state law has not been more protective of the public than federal law. It has been because of lobbying by WNC and other groups like WNC, it has been increasingly less protective, and there are laws passed to prevent the states from protecting the public health, and that is absolutely, in my opinion, unconstitutional. And it's too bad the Republicans in the legislature don't realize that they and their children have to breathe just like everybody else, and that the technology is there. It's not expensive comparatively. It's better than ever. And this bill is needed.
Thanks for the comments, Ann. And Representative Ott?
Well, thank you for your call, Ann. I do appreciate it. And by the way, carbon dioxide does not play a role in ozone alerts in any shape, manner, or form. And as far as it, you know, being a hazardous gas, you know, John, well, you and I are talking on the phone here. Our listeners and you and me have put out quite a few pounds of CO2 ourselves. So, I mean, it's something that every, you know, living organism virtually puts out. If you take in oxygen, you put out CO2. Keep in mind, well, first of all, as far as the cost is concerned, you know, we don't oftentimes talk about the cost. It sounds real good to say, well, we're going to reduce CO2. It's going to be beneficial for the environment. You know, Congressman John Dingell the other day proposed nationally putting some taxes out that would preferably reduce the emissions of CO2. He's talking about a 50-cent gallon a gas tax, 50 cents a gallon, a $50 a ton CO2 tax on companies. Homes over 3,000 square feet would have their mortgage deductions phased out. Some of that money that's taken in by the tax would be used for highway construction, which doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. And also keep in mind, I'm not saying we shouldn't try to reduce CO2. I'm saying let's do it in ways that make sense. SB 81 makes no mention whatsoever about nuclear energy, encouraging nuclear energy. And our Assembly Republican budget does, because we take off the mandate, restrictions, the moratorium on constructing nuclear power plants in Wisconsin. And again, I'm not saying we should produce all of our electricity through the use of nuclear energy, but let's talk about increasing the production of nuclear energy, production of electricity using nuclear energy, because this would truly result in CO2. And I'll tell you what, I'm not, you know, I'm a fisherman. I'm not real thrilled about the mercury that comes out of coal-fired power plants. And I'm also not very thrilled about our dependence on foreign oil. I think we should work for ways to reduce that dependence and for our ways to reduce mercury in the environment as well. So I'm not against reducing CO2. My question is, how do you do it? Who's involved in doing it? And does it make any difference, or does it make any sense for one state to pass legislation that would negatively impact our economy, and this legislation will not have any impact on global levels of CO2?
Let's hear from Tom in Mequon next. Tom, good morning.
Hi, Mr. Munson and Mr. Ott. I'd like to say that I'm glad to hear Jim speak today. I think he's a very clear-speaking, concise speaker, and I'd like to, and I enjoy hearing him straighten out or make things plain as to how things are really going with this issue. I personally think that Wisconsin economy has been suffering quite a bit in the last 20 years, and I think if this bill was put through, it would hurt the state even more. And I think if working people, like most of us, really realize what it would mean, they would be against it. I do believe that there is some proof showing that there is some moderate mild global warming, but there's no proof stating that that's from man-made. And as so often, the left wants to hurt mankind because of their wild ideas, and this would definitely hurt Wisconsin, and people need to be informed of what this would really mean if this went through.
Tom, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Tom.
Well, Tom agrees with you that this would be a bad idea for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and actually, John, I'm not the only person who's questioning the merits of SB 81 or this way of going about reducing CO2 emissions. There are other people who feel the same way that I do.
Let's go quickly to another call. This time we'll go to Gary in Port Washington. Gary, good morning.
Hi. I feel that the exchange of carbon tax credits between companies would be a good thing. It allows the companies that can most easily reduce their carbon emissions to do them immediately, while the companies that have the most problem reducing their emissions would at least be bought some time. Now, for the callers that don't believe that, you know, we're affecting the atmosphere, if you think of every light bulb that you turn on, every appliance you turn on, every car that you drive, and you think of your yard and the atmosphere above it as being your chunk of atmosphere, you're polluting your chunk of atmosphere. You know, every time you turn on an appliance, leave a light bulb on, buy a bigger screen TV that uses more energy. You know, all these things have an effect. The energy that a lot of the energy we get is from carbon-based fuels. This stuff has been underground for, depending on your philosophy, either millions of years or the beginning of creation. And we're digging this stuff up, we're burning it, we're putting it into the atmosphere, and it stays in the atmosphere unless you can either grow something and bury the something again so that it doesn't rot and put its carbon back into the atmosphere. You know, the carbon, once it's released, stays there. It doesn't
go away. We get it. Let's let Representative Ott get a chance to respond to the first part of your comments, which specifically relate to this legislation. Gary says the exchange of carbon tax credits is a good idea because those companies that find it the easiest to comply will be able to do so immediately, and the others can do so as they're able.
Well, thank you for your call, Gary. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. The ones who are can reduce CO2 the easiest will obviously be at an advantage. Well, why not give them a tax incentive for reducing their CO2, encourage them to do it? But then letting another company buy the credit is not really going to result in a meaningful reduction of CO2. And you know, Gary brings up an interesting point about each one of us playing a role in CO2 going into the atmosphere. I live within sight of the Canadian Pacific Railroad tracks, and so I see the coal trains go by every couple of days heading up towards Sheboygan and Green Bay, which, of course, is used to fire the coal-fired power plants in those areas. Port Washington, by the way, did change to natural gas a couple of years ago, so we don't see the coal barges coming into the harbor and port anymore. But the fact is, when you see those coal trains, I mean, it makes you want to go around the house and flick off any light switches that you're not in the room, that you're not using. You know, it makes you want to keep your thermostat turned down in the wintertime and up in the summertime. I think there's a lot that each one of us can do to reduce CO2 emissions. You know, when you next time you buy an automobile, you know, maybe look at those mileage figures. They really do mean something when you think how much you drive in a year. Every, you know, extra mile that you get per gallon is a mile that you're not polluting in. But I just don't think that the buying and selling of carbon credits are really going to do much more, but getting brokers involved in the issue and some of the problems that were reported in that Financial Times article out of London. If you'd like to go take a look at that, April 2007, and it talks about some of the problems in the European market for buying and selling of carbon credits.
Representative Ott, we're just seconds away from having to get out of here. If you had to give odds on how this bill is going to do in the Assembly, what would they be?
I would say probably not very good. I certainly would be testifying against it in the Assembly as well. So I would say the odds aren't very good at this point. However, you know, it's always interesting with legislation and where it goes. So we'll
anything can happen. It often does.
Anything can happen, but I'll be, you know, testifying against it just like I did in the Senate hearing the other day.
Thanks
a lot, John, for having me on, and thanks to your listeners for calling in.
Thanks for getting up so early.
My pleasure.
Representative Jim Ott, Republican State Representative from Mequon. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.